And they have an album called Yahweh, as a matter of fact. Just beautiful, beautiful songs. On that album, there's a song called Hallelujah, Turn My Life Around, Let It Rain. Just a fabulous, fabulous artist. David G. Hey, welcome. This is the Boomerang Radio Show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a special broadcast. This is a special time, special day, special month. And every day above earth is special, and I'm going to treat it that way. And welcome to this set, Dr. Cecilia Sims. Hey, Doc.
Hey, William, how are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. Enjoyed your show Thursday. It was just you and Pastor David, and you guys just couldn't help yourself, could you?
That's my brother, I tell you.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
He's no joke either, so.
No. I can imagine. And I was looking for, oh, my God, your
Victoria.
Other.
Victoria.
Victoria.
Yeah, she's in school on the first Thursday of each month. She's achieving something, which I'm very glad and proud of her, but she'll be back.
Excellent, 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 excellent. And so, no,
David is my, he's my part-time co-host.
Okay, that's okay. That was really good. I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the broadcast. There was plenty of fire there, I'm telling you right now. I said, now, okay, I'm going to have to withdraw my request to come on your show. I said, it's getting a little hot in that kitchen. Shuck.
You need to quit.
I said,
you
hey, look. I said, they might be talking about me up in there, okay?
Well, you know, all of us probably find ourselves in some of the subjects, so, you know, that's the way it is.
But, hey.
And you know what? You were, and I was researching all of the programs from last year, and you were on two of my shows, William.
Really?
Since you was doing all that complaining.
Complaining. Two? Yeah. Are you sure it's two?
William, I'm not crazy. Okay.
Okay. Were there two whole shows?
Two whole shows, William. Two whole shows.
Okay. I don't know. My memory, it slips my memory.
Go ahead and just say that. Okay. You'll be better off. Thank you very much.
Dr. Demery.
Hi, Dr.
Demery. What's going on, my friend?
Where's Ann?
Oh, Ann, she called me texted me at the last minute. And she's taking care of some family business, so she won't be on tonight. And Brother Tisdale, he's out with his wife. And so I figure, you know, the three of us, we'll do just fine. We'll be just fine. We'll do just fine. It's a special day, and it's a special month. And I love this month. Tell you why. Black History Month. And I think that it is something that needs to be celebrated. We love doing it any time of the year. And occasionally you will hear us throughout. It can be June. It could be December. It could be anything. And we want to acknowledge our brothers and sisters that have made major, major accomplishments throughout history. And I'm going to tell you why. Dr. Demery, there is a movement out here right now that wants to silence everything that has to do with our history, except for the parts that they can appropriate. Now, that is a nice word of saying steal. If they can't steal it, okay, they don't want it. But there's value there. And I want to start it off this way, Dr. Demery. I had asked a question earlier today. And that was on the, and then we will go directly to Dr. Sims. Why is there such an uproar? Why is it that they want to ban books? They want to water down the history. They don't want it taught at all. They want to do any and everything. I'm talking about going through drastic measures of suppressing information. And even recently, now, there is a lie. Hey, Dr. Demery, I know I can't say it like you do, but there's a lie about critical race theory, and they're saying, we don't want this taught in our elementary schools. Well, it's not taught in the elementary schools. They are blowing smoke. They are gaslighting and getting everybody in an uproar over this, right? Recently, I believe it started in Florida, they wanted to ban the AP African-American studies in college. What is all of this all about? what are they so afraid about, Dr. Demery?
Well, you know, part of the critical race theory, we had to study that in graduate school. And a classical example or a classical statement or argument or theory, depending on how you look at it, is, for example, we would say that every aspect of American history has been affected by slavery. Now, theoretically, when you look at that, it's true. But the point being is they want to deny that because they don't want to admit to the fact that they were wrong, that they were recalcitrants, that they were nincompoops, and to reduce it to its lowest common denominator, that they were racists. And they don't want that stigma on their coattail. So the easiest way to get rid of it is deny it, or in this case, William, like you were saying, is to completely debunk it and or not teach it at all, you know, just ban it. So that's an easy way of getting out of the discussion or the argument, because they don't even want to enter into the discussion. So when you say that every aspect of American history has been affected by slavery, that's a pretty bold statement. But when you analyze it and look at it, every aspect of American history is affected by slavery and has been affected by slavery. And the fact of the matter is, if they could rewrite history, they would probably erase slavery completely out of it. Because, for example, I am not anti-Semitic. Believe me, I love my Jewish brothers and sisters, and I love my Semitic brothers and sisters. And I am just saddened by the fact that 6 million Jews were killed during the Holocaust. And it's horrible, and it's horrific. 10 to 15 million slaves were killed in the Northwest Passage. History does not want to recognize that. And that is a significant factor. Now, there was a lot more Africans than Jews when you look at it per capita. But the point being is that if you want to start talking numbers and start talking, analysis of facts, you have to include that as well. So all that's part of the critical race theory that they don't want to deny. I mean, that they want to deny and not face the facts that this is the way it was, and that slavery was a way of increasing the South's wealth so that they could have cheap labor, no way of paying their laborers, and increase their wealth. I mean, that when it's all said and done, that's what it comes down to it. And you can even look at the fact that, you know, old Honest Abe with the big, tall stovepipe pipe hat, he did not want to sign the Emancipation Proclamation. Now, that may come as a shock to some of you. He did not want to sign it because he knew what ending slavery would do to the economy. And it was about money. It always comes back to money. And that may be shocking to some of you. Go back. Don't take my word for it. Go back and look at the record. He did not want to sign the Emancipation Proclamation. And most people say, oh, well, Honest Abe, he freed his slaves. No, he didn't free the slaves.
Oh, he had a purpose for what he did. You know it.
Juneteenth. He did not want to sign the Emancipation Proclamation. Mm-hmm. They basically forced him into signing it because he knew the consequences. So that's just the start of this discussion. I hope that opens up the pages to some further discussion.
It does. It does. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that, because this is what it's all about. If they had a chance, and what they're trying to do is rewrite history, Dr. Sims, you take the books out of the library. You give people exactly what you want them to read, not necessarily everything that is the truth, okay? You suppress information coming out any way you want. And you present certain things which aren't necessarily facts. One thing that really upsets me, and I think about this too, and the three of us, when we were in high school, there are several courses. You weren't going to graduate if you didn't pass a math course. Math. You weren't going to graduate if you didn't pass English. You weren't going to graduate if you did not pass history.
That's right. Indeed.
Okay. And Dr. Sims, I really want you to jump in on this, because what really infuriates me, and Dr. Demery can attest to this, and he and I have been saying, well, I've been saying this for years, that we went to school, graduated, and we were taught and had to pass a lie in order to pass.
Right, indeed. And you know what?
Please continue.
It's such a travesty, and I was listening to Dr. Demery, and, you know, I go out of bounds of the discussion, and so I have to face it as it is that they only wanted us to know what they wanted us to know.
Of course.
As a people. And then, two, some of my, like my great-great-grandfather, my great-great-grandma, they knew the history. I was born partly in Fresno, and the cotton fields were still in existence. And so during that time, but here's the deal in the schools. I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the way they taught our history was degrading us, to the point where they did not want us to know our significance. And I say this is because we are such a resilient people. They only gave us what they wanted to give us, because the fight, we did not have the fight in us at that time. We accepted it. We accepted just being accepted, if that makes sense, because of the systematic unjust of our people. I read something. I got kind of tickled. And this might be a sidebar. But there was an Indian, a native Indian. He said, we should have built the wall. And I'm like, okay, it makes sense. Reason why he says that is because to keep all of the people who called themselves discovering America, who took over and brought such a hardship even on the Indian people. Now, here's the deal that I'm having a problem with. When I hear even my grandchildren or anybody say anything about our lineage, our heritage, it limits us. It makes us, what I'm trying to say is it makes us look like we were such an ignorant, worthless people, if I'm making any sense, okay, when it comes to learning who we are. Because had they told us how inventive we are, had they told us how smart we are, had they told us how resilient we are, then it would establish a sense of pride in us.
Of course.
But they had to keep us at a disadvantage. And the disadvantage was to keep us at a low self-esteem arena, a worthless arena, okay? You cannot know more than our white predecessors. And please, believe me, I'm not prejudiced whatsoever. But the injustice that they did with us, even with my years in school, they still made us sit in the back of the class, okay? Made us feel like that's where our place was, that we were not as educated in knowledge to sit in the front of the class, which whatever I gained, the knowledge that I gained, I graduated the top of my class, but still was put down, if that makes sense, because they still did not want you to gravitate towards your worth and get a self-esteem about you. They wanted you to feel that we did you a favor by educating you this far, but guess what, baby, you're not worth it. Going even in the distance. So it's a travesty how they're doing our children today. They're spreading such false history, tainted history, diluted history when it comes to our people, because again, the objective is to keep our people at a disadvantage.
What a perverse way of thinking. Dr. Sims, you're right on point. It's no question about it. And let's break it all down, because there's only one truth, isn't it? Mm-hmm. There's only one truth. It's no, Dr. Demery, help me out with this. There are no alternative facts, are there? There's no such thing as alternative facts.
Absolutely.
And you and I, we talk about, and you and I, and Dr. Sims, this is before you grace us with your presence on this network. And we were talking about this.
Can I ask you why you're hiding?
Oh, I'm not hiding. Okay. Sometimes, okay, now, Dr. Sims, we need to talk off air.
No, we don't.
Okay, we have to talk about, as the producer and CEO, there's some things that I have to do behind the scenes while I'm doing everything else.
Understood.
Okay, yes, darling, okay. So,
understood.
Lord, see. Okay, you go. You'll get a phone call here shortly.
Okay, hey, my phone is open. Come on with it. I'm not scared of you.
Folks, this is live radio. Okay.
And Ann called me, too, to make sure I was okay before she called you. Because she said that she was going to get you if you messed with me.
I'm still waiting. I am still waiting. I'm not afraid of you and or Ann. I'm not. No. It's. Hey, I tell you what, I think you're going to need a whole army. You better get somebody else too.
Oh,
okay.
Lord,
you and you will get Victoria. Who else you going to get?
Listen, me and her can handle you. We cool. We did it before. Come on now.
Handle me.
Okay. Pastor Demery, Dr. Black Pepper.
You trying to get
that's okay because when you're old, it's Black Pepper.
You need her. Well, let me tell you something. You right up there with me. Hello.
Moving right along. See, this is just to get me off subject, but it ain't going to work. It's not going to work.
No, I want to stay on the subject because it's important.
No, listen, you're talking about me hiding. I'm not hiding. As a matter of fact, I'm bringing it all out here, and I'm telling you right now, I was telling the pastor today when we were doing the Hope is a Live broadcast. And at the end of that broadcast, what's so unique about it, I get a chance to ask the pastor questions about what's going on. Not only what's going on at the church, because that's important mm-hmm. to the congregation. They want to know, what is the pastor doing? What is he thinking? What are some ideas and projects going forward to improve mm-hmm. the body of Christ, right? And so mm-hmm. Also we ask, I get a chance to ask about world events, what he's thinking about what's going on in society today. And we even covered the tragedy that happened in Memphis. And mm-hmm. it is a shame. So we might get into a little bit of that because I want yours and Dr. Demery's opinion on that. Do you think that finally, the nation, not only in particular areas, but the nation itself will hold some of these corrupt police officers accountable? I want to get into that as well. See, all of this has to do with our history because if you look at it, over time, who has been arrested more often and disproportionately, right? If you look at whatever you are, based on the per capita, it's always, now folks, this is no coincidence. It's always the black man and or the brown man that's getting arrested. And if you look at the differences proportionately, it is women, hold it. You have to ask if you have a sense of brain or if you have a sense of morality in your head, what in the world is going on here? So if you look at all of this, and I'm going somewhere because you look at the time that we've been here on this continent, or we've been in the United States, and you look at, okay, all right, if you have an opportunity for equal education, you have the opportunity for equal opportunity, you have the opportunity on your own business, do you have, because guess what, folks, don't make me bring up Black Wall Street, okay? So then you have a level playing field. But because you've been arrested, some of those charges are trumped up. You have brothers and sisters in jail right now that hasn't committed a crime. That's a fact. They were profiled. And it's a doggone shame that you see 35, 40 years they've been freed and let out because somebody went back. Somebody with some sense of humanity went back and looked at the evidence. You see? So if you look at that, then when you go to apply for a job, say, oh, you got a record. Well, doggone it, you set me up in the first place, fool. And now you want me to be ashamed? And see, a lot of us fall for that trick. But we have to realize, folks, there are a lot of tricks that are played out here right now against certain people, right? And I've read something a long time ago, Dr. Sims. In order for this thing to work the way they want it to work, you've got to have that. You have to have a lower class. Okay, you've got to have a lower class. Okay, they've almost practically destroyed the middle class, and so you don't know what, and the upper class. As long as you got a substantial amount, just enough to do your work, to do your dirty work and stuff like that, then the super rich can thrive. And I know that's a fact, and folks, that is capitalism as we know it. Dr. Sims.
You know, I want to reflect back first on the school system with the children. I heard something, and I don't know if you all have ever heard this, looking into, and you brought out a group of people, which are the Jewish people. Please, Media Land, I have no problem with anybody, so don't come for a girl. Okay, we're just talking. My thing is I read this, and then I heard it from a prominent individual who stated that the Jewish people know what's being taught in the schools. And so therefore you don't find many Jewish children in our public schools. They care much more about what is being taught to their children other than we do. And in fact, not only just us, but we're talking about, you notice Asians are in such an advance in knowledge, and you have the people who are being, these children are being groomed at home. But you have the brown America, when I'm talking about the Hispanic and Afro-Americans, who are, you know, in the public schools. And let's just call it what it is. They make money off of us, off of our children sitting in the seats. It's not so much as the knowledge that they gain. It's about finances. This whole gamut of politics and everything has to do with the mighty dollar. And if you keep your, just try it. If you keep your child out of school, somebody's going to come knocking at your door.
That's right.
Not so much that they care about them getting educated, is that their little behinds are not in the seat, so they can't collect that money. Okay? So therefore, you get in trouble with the law. Y'all pay attention how they act. They're not caring about what knowledge, because they still think he's a little snot-nosed black kid. Okay, let's call a spade a spade. But as long as he's sitting in the seat, they have a budget. They have money that they're receiving for each child. My question is this. If they had all this money for the school system, then why does the teachers have to go out and spend their hard-earned dollars to buy some of the things that the children need? That's just another dialogue, okay? We can go over that later. But all of these things, I'm doing a rationale. If the teachers are overworked, I mean, if they are not caring about the student, and the student is sitting there. There was one white male that got up, and he says, this teacher says, I'm getting my paycheck, and she's not teaching. She's handing pieces of paper. He said, if you would treat them like humans, he was talking about the Afro-American children, kids. These are like teenagers. He said, you sit up here, and all you do, you just hand papers. You don't talk to us. You don't talk to them. You talk down to them. He said, all you do is talk about you're getting your paycheck. What does that do for their self-esteem? And because it was a white young man who was addressing her, of course, she didn't call no security on him, of course. But he told her the truth. He said, if you would talk to them, if you would teach them, instead of talking about, okay, well, do this, do this, do that, they have no sense of worth. You're not giving them that. Because as you said, you're getting a paycheck, okay? And so I thought this is so befitting with this subject. We need to pay more attention to the school systems, what's going on, because some of the things that our children are being taught are mind-boggling and are perverted. And I will have to say this, one of the things, and I heard this when the Donald Trump said one time, he said, how is it that you can send these pedophiles in the school and indoctrinate them? How is it you can see these rappers into the school and tell them that they don't have to have a gender? They can just be there and they can decide what they want. but yet you took prayer out of schools, okay? Mm-hmm. You're not teaching them what they needed. Now, I will give him the brownie points for that, because all these other folks, they don't address those things like that. The school system, they are colonizing our children. Let's just call a spade. They're colonizing our children to make them feel like you're worthless. When you get out of school, you're going to be nothing fit but to go into the meat house, which I call the jailhouse, okay? And to get messed over. The women, you're not worth it. All you worth is what you display in today. So go ahead and do you, boo-boo, you know? And so you're dropping your self-worth. And guess who's laughing at us?
Oh, boy.
Guess who's laughing at us, sitting back and laughing at us. Mm-hmm. And their talk is, I got them where I want them. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, we have to, as a people, if we would recognize who we are, everything just about these folks are using my people invented, okay? If you would just look at it. We have to be in our mind process, because it starts in the mind. Remember, we talked about this Tuesday. It starts in the mind, man. Once they tell you that you are worthless, I've been told that. Come on. Mm-hmm. Then you have your own people telling you that, okay?
Man.
Because they've been fed that. And it's just a vicious, to me, a generational curse that keeps going on and on and on. So somebody's going to have to step out. But I'm afraid, folks, they've instilled such fear in our people that who's going to come forth for fear that they're going to be snuffed out of here. And I may be in the wrong dialogue, William, but
no, you're fine.
I'm really concerned about this, because mm-hmm. they're keeping us still. It is modern day slavery. Let's call it what it is.
You know,
it is so modern day. I'm talking about, we think, oh, because we get a couple dollars and we're working, they're only going to allow you to get so much. You still going to be who you gonna be, and that's black and worthless.
You know, the thing about it is, it's been covered up since Martin Luther King. And I saw something, the three of us, we were around then, and I noticed something before, during, and after. And you think about this, okay? Before, we recognized and knew the racism. There were Klan marches all over the country. I've never seen one. I've only seen what happens on TV, but I knew that they were in my own city. I just never witnessed it. Okay? Mm-hmm. People burning crosses in someone, in a prominent black person's home, yard, or whatever it is. Bathrooms. Two sets. Colored men, colored women. White men, white women. And I remember that I was a Boy Scout, and I had, we went on a field trip, and we were down in Newport News, Virginia. There's a naval yard there, Professor. I'm sure you know about it, Newport News, Virginia. Okay? And I remember seeing this, and I was a kid. And then I'm thinking back then how awful this is. Separate water fountains. You know, this kind of crap. And I say crap. Yes, I did. And I mean it. I'm not taking this back. Going to certain places and it's divided there. And it seems like to me, Dr. Demery, with what these people are doing right now. And you know, it's really strange. They're trying to cover this thing up. What happened back then? They're trying to cover it up back then, but yet, covertly, they're doing it again.
Right.
And they're doing it in more subtle ways. Okay? Again, denying the education. Okay? Denying ways of progress. I just saw something on TV that these Republicans just dismantle a civil rights subcommittee in Congress. Are you guys listening to me right now? Mm-hmm. Are you listening to me? See, on the surface, that may not mean a lot to a lot of people. Civil rights subcommittee. disband? I mean, is that striking anybody? Dr. Sims, Dr. Demery, help me out here. That strikes me as the evil that's being perpetrated and that's continuing. Please, sir.
It goes back to, I said this before, and I'll say it again. It goes all the way back to biblical times. All of the Old Testament prophets were Africans. Isaiah was an African. Jeremiah was an African. And all of the, even the lesser prophets, were all Africans. And they don't want you to know that. They want to keep that hidden to the fact that all of those people were black. They don't want you to think that Jesus was a dark-skinned Jew. They don't want you to know that. They don't want you to know that Simon the Cyrene, who carried the cross, there's theological implications behind that, historical implications behind that. When Simon the Cyrene was carrying the cross, he looked down at Jesus, and Jesus looked up at him, and their eyes met. And at that point, we were burdened with carrying the cross. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. The theological implications began right there. But it actually happened much further back now. It actually happened much further back. And William, I told you this story. Dr. Sims, you may not have heard me say this. When I was taking Hebrew, and we were studying the story of Noah, and you all remember the story when Noah was building the ark, and after the ark was built and the ark landed and all of this, and his sons came and looked at him because he had built a vineyard. One of the first things, go back and look at the story. Don't take my word for it. Go back and read the story in Genesis and in Exodus. And he built a vineyard and he got drunk and he got naked. And the sons, two of them, walked backwards into to see their father so that they would not look at his nakedness. But it was who? It was Cush, who father's nakedness, and they said that his skin was turned black. No, that's not the story. His skin was not turned black. There was a curse that was put upon him, but he was not cursed black. We have to make sure that the Mormons and others have come out with that crap. Excuse my language, William.
It is
a travesty. And that stuff is laden into the history and biblical theology, which is a travesty. And when I look back at that stuff, and I say, well, wait a minute. If Cush was black, then what was Miss Noah and Mr. Noah?
You better say black. So.
You ain't seen no black child come from a white couple, blonde, blue eyes. You ain't seen it, and you ain't going to see it. And so the point being is that all those folks were Africans, and they don't want you to know that. So if that's the case, the lineage that comes from Noah were all Africans. That was the lineage in the beginning of the race, because the whole world was supposed to have been wiped out, right?
That's right.
Come on.
That even goes back to the Gilgamesh. When you go back to the Gilgamesh epic, the story's told pretty much the same way. So when you get to Jesus, when you get to Simon the Cyrene, when you get to the fact that Jesus had hair like yours, William.
That's right. That's right. Naturally curly. Okay.
And the fact that Jesus was a dark-skinned Jew horrifies them. It horrifies them.
Ooh.
Them scared and dispute everything. So what they try to do, rewrite history.
That's right.
Put it under the cuff and all of that.
That's right.
Dead Sea Scrolls, when they left out the Book of Enoch from the Bible. The Book of Enoch is not in your Bible.
Right. Come on.
Some of the other Bibles, and Enoch talks about Africans. And they left that out. To know about it.
Oh my goodness.
That's where it begins. And so when you begin at a certain point and you perpetuate this racism, because Critical race theory didn't begin in the 1970s where most people think it began.
Come on now.
It began way back there.
Mm-hmm.
Way back there. Mm-hmm. Critical race theory has been around for a long, for thousands of years.
Eons.
So,
come on now.
Look at why they justify what they do now. Because in their poor minds, they don't know no better. That stuff is perpetuated and passed on to them, and then they pass it on, and they pass it on. And they teach their kids this stuff. And the poor kids don't know no better because they don't know history. They don't know the facts of the way things are. And even some of my sick white brothers and sisters who are pastors and ministers and pastor churches don't know this. Here's one last thing, and then I'll let you guys move on. I preached a sermon at an all-white church 2 weeks ago. Here's one of the things that I talked about, and I allowed them to be aware of this. I've had several ministers in my own denomination have said, you know, I really would love going to a black church, but I feel uncomfortable. Why do you feel uncomfortable? Arm off, or pull your hair out, or pull your mustache out? How do you think we feel when we go to your church and we're the only black person there? I've had white ministers tell me this.
Are you serious?
And I said, this stuff has to stop.
Bang.
You feel uncomfortable going to an all-black church? You're supposed to be a minister. You're supposed to be a child of God. You're supposed to bring the good news. And you talk like that? Well, they were being honest with me, which
of
I appreciate.
Course.
This stuff perpetuates racism.
Man.
And I said, you can't do that. I said, you are making a very sad mistake. And every time you do that, you nail that hammer and it hits the cross all over again. You nail Jesus back on the cross.
That's right. Oh, thank you. Hey, look at, you know, Dr. Sims, I'm going to let you have this right now, but I can't tell both of you how much I'm enjoying this one right here. Oh my God. This reminds me of CC's kitchen here. I love this. Dr. Demery, thank you so much for, look here. Anytime you get ready, my friend, just bring the fire, but you're exactly right. But my question is, and Dr. Demery, I have to ask you this. You say they don't know any better, but my question to you is, and then I won't go directly to Dr. Sim. Is it that they do know better, but they are afraid?
It's both. It's both, William. It's both. Some of them know the truth. Some of them don't know the truth because they're ignorant as the day is long. And they don't know any better, so that's why they have been taught this by ignorant folks. And some, we know in this country, there is systematic racism. It's systemic within the process of our history. And that's why I said it before, and I'm going to say it again. There is no part of American history where slavery has not touched it, and it is not American history has been affected by slavery. Mm-hmm. All of American history has been affected by slavery, from Abraham Lincoln all the way back.
Mm-hmm. Okay, don't go anywhere. You give me a lean back here. Dr. Sims, you got to jump in here because you got to take over in a minute. There was something. Oh, my God. See, this is the thing about it. I want to talk about Congress right now for a minute. Good Lord. When I even think about Congress, I get depressed. And I try to do my best to get out of this, right? And there was a discussion on the House floor. Dr. Sims, Dr. Demery, you guys got to help me out here. Because the lunacy that comes out of these clowns' mouths, it is astonishing. And they are making on an average of about $175,000 a year. Good Lord, for doing nothing and doing and advocating stupid, stupid laws.
And they're mad at that.
Oh, my God. And then, guess what? They get more than that, too, because then they get these, you know, lobbyists that's putting money in their pockets in their campaigns and stuff like that. And they go in there poor as a church mouse and come out millionaires, okay, for doing nothing, okay. God. Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, Lord.
Help me out. Dr. Sims. Okay, you can get a chance to go on and, you know, okay, I know you are lying this, so I want you to rip this one apart when I'm done, okay? All right. Got on, and they were talking about this brother that lost his life that we talked about in Memphis. God rest his soul and bless his family. Please bless his family, because that shouldn't have happened.
Nope.
And this clown. That's right. That clown that should be in a circus instead of Congress, Marjorie Taylor Greene, got up and says, and this is so despicable. And she was saying how tragic, you know, when the brother lost his life in Memphis and stuff like that. But guess what? That would have been okay. Except for she had to throw this in. Then she said, well, equally, we need to talk about Ashley Babbitt. Now, let's go back 1 second. Ashley Babbitt is the one that tried to break into the Capitol, committing a crime, and she got shot and killed. Okay? So this fool is trying to make a comparison between the two for an agenda. Dr. Sims, you go on, and then we go back to Dr. Jimmery, please.
Know what? It's always been that way. And I listened to Dr. Jimmery, and it has to do with still keeping us at a disadvantage, period. When they're bringing out this stuff and making that kind of comparison, there is no comparison as far as how horrific that thing happened in Memphis. Well, this other lady was clearly committing a crime. Now, I'm not for people getting murdered or anything like that. I'm not for that. Okay. She was doing something which caused an effect in that line, and it took her life. But when it comes to the gentleman in Memphis, that was uncalled for. But here's a problem I'm having. Marjorie Taylor Greene really should sit down and just really be quiet. And the reason why I say that is because she used one of the rapper's song to parade herself in a commercial. But when she was approached by the rapper who told her, "Don't, I didn't give you permission to use my song. Don't use it." So then she went really guttural on him and start talking about how worthless he was and this, that, and the other, that's what they do. When you call them out, and folks, please, please, please understand me now. When they are called out, then they go rogue on you. I'll use that because they understand that word. They go rogue on you. Then they start talking about you and making you think that, you know, I have a right to talk to you that way. How dare you correct me? How dare you? How dare you tell me I can't do something? Because it's that superiority conflict, and it's wrong. Now, had it been one of her people, she would have condescended without any kind of backlash. But because it was an Afro-American rapper who wrote the song, had title to it, the whole nine, and didn't give her the authority, it's beneath her to talk to or even question and ask somebody if I can use it. Because guess what? Again, you're walking in that superiority position, and you feel like you can do everything, anything that you want to do. Number one, Marjorie Taylor Greene was not silenced like she should have been for her own behavior. That's why she can walk around acting like she does. But here's the deal. Birds of a feather do flock together. We have to look what's up in the house, okay? She's only allowed to do all those things because she's allowed to, period. She is allowed to do those things. Now, Dr. Demery, I wanted to piggyback on something you said about the Book of Enoch. And one of the teachings that my son brought out, and it kind of hit my head about even our Bible. Some of the things in our Bibles, in some of our Bibles, were rewritten to suit the slave owners. When it talks about the servant is not greater than the master. That was not talking about slavery, but that's what they use. They use that scripture to keep a people enslaved. If people would do their history, they would find out they would take certain passages of scriptures to validate their ill behavior, which is wrong. Now, I also looked up King James because we have the Bible, King James Version. Now we have many translations of the Bible. But I looked up King James in 16, and I'll read this, 1604. England King James the First authorized the new translation of the Bible aimed at settling some thorny religious differences in his kingdom. Had nothing to do with God, okay? It was something, an authoritative figure, and he had to rewrite because of differences. And to solidify his own power. So he put his name on a holy Bible that didn't even belong to him. And so that's why I says, you know what? I had to leave away from the King James Version. The words of life is still there. I believe that every apostle was led by the Holy Spirit to write the word of God. But when you have a wicked man that puts his hand on something, we're talking about this. Everything that's being done at the hands of good people, you have some wickedness that comes in there and wants to take the notoriety of something that they had no part in, if I'm making sense. Dr. Demery, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, the other thing behind that, and some people are going to get mad at me. Some people are going to curse me and damn me for making this statement. William has heard me say this before. I believe that any translation of the Bible is a good one as long as you're reading God's word. Indeed. The King James Version is the worst translation. It is bad. It's horrible. It add words in the text that aren't even there. When you look at John 1:1, which is an example, every first year Greek student studies John because Greek is really easy. But when you read it in from the translation of the King James Version, it's horrible. Horrible. They add words that aren't even in the original text.
Come on.
And so the point being is all of what you're saying is true, but also in addition to that, I think every King James Version I had, I threw it out. But I Bible out. I got it sitting up on my shelf. You know, that's why they had to come out with the new King James Version, because the King James Version was so bad. I mean, it was astounding how bad it was because the translation was horrible. And any first year Greek student will tell you, why did they put all those extra words in there? Why did they put this in there? Because that's the way that the King James was translated. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to be, anti-Catholic.
Right.
But you look at the Catholic Bible. They got the Apocrypha. They got all kinds of books in there that weren't even part of the original text. That's why the Catholic Bible is so different than ours.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? When they're writing these Bibles, and Dr. Demery, thank you for that dialogue, because what King James did to our Bible, to the actual Word of God, as I first stated, to change it, to solidify his own power, seeking to prove his own supremacy. Okay. And so what he did is he dissected it to suit supremacy, to suit arrogance, to suit validation of their thought process. And Dr. Demery, I took Hebrew, and Hebrew, even in taking Hebrew, it doesn't even, the word of God, the King James Version, Hebrew is even more different than the words that is written in the Holy Bible, which I'm glad I took. Okay. So when I tell people, don't just look at, because we were raised on King James Version. My mind, I was like brainwashed in King James Version because I didn't know that I can go up in other Bibles when I was a younger woman. But now that I go and look at and knowing English too, I took the King James Version at face value, of course, during my younger years. But after going into my study, God said, I'm going to show you the deep hidden treasures of the word. And so I knew that there was something more than what just written on those pages, which I understand, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that is a key. That's key. Okay. God says that, you know, he's all powerful. I understand all of that. But there's something greater in there. And King James, when I found out that King James put his name on a holy book, on a holy word, for his own self-exaltation, and this is the best, listen to this, this is the best-selling book and still the best-selling book, okay? even from years and centuries of time. And so my thing is, if we would just study a little bit more on history, I would think that we would get a better understanding. And Dr. Demery, I need to do that Greek, okay? But I do understand when you brought out about the Catholic Church, one of the things I could never understand, they do everything in Latin, okay? Even speaking in Latin, and many of us were English, okay? And you have the various other cultures who spoke different languages. So it's hard. I didn't understand with them going to the Catholic churches. The archbishop or the bishop would speak in Latin. Who was to know what he's saying? Okay. To me, he could be praying a curse over me and I would never know it. That's just my thought process. So I think, folks, I'm trying to relate to you, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Demery, search a little further. Don't feel bad about going to other translations and learn your English. Okay. Because when they start adding adverbs and nouns and, you know, it changes the whole dynamic, even of a paragraph. It'll change the whole dynamic of it. So that's just my suggestion to you. Now, I was looking at, William brought out about those who are sitting on the Senate and what have you and how much they make a year. There is a movie, and I told you folks that I pay attention to what is being broadcast and been broadcast for years. I'm paying closer attention now because what is in reality, even from my research now, people are saying they're actually telling us what they're doing. Okay. What is coming to pass. They're actually telling us, but because we have been so enamored over, you know, is it live or Memorex? You know, is this it? Is this real? Whatever. But my thing is these politicians are getting much more than what they say they are, Dr. Demery. They give you like a summation of their finances. Because I was telling my daughter this. I said, baby, listen, there is some place in, what was that, when the rain came? And I might be jumping all over the place. But when the rain came, they were saying, well, we couldn't catch all the water because of the reservoir. And we couldn't do that. Well, they got billions of dollars to build a reservoir to catch the water. So my thing is, what they showed us was just like somebody just dug a ditch and that was it. So where is the money? That's my whole question. That makes me to know when I watch that movie, they have all of these fictitious accounts with all of these fictitious names, with all of this money that's going in only to be collected and their pockets being padded. What do you think about that, Dr. Demery? Am I wrong or right?
Well, I'm not sure where to begin because you kind of...
I kind of jumped, I know.
Place. But
I was dealing with the money, what he was saying, how, you know, the politician was saying they only get like $175,000 a year to do nothing. And I said they're getting more than that because they're passing bills and money's supposed to be allocated, but things are not being done. And so my statement was, I feel like they are padding their pockets on a fictitious... outcome that they're saying things are getting done, which in actuality they're not.
Well, I think William could confirm this. I mean, this is more in his wheelhouse because we know that they get insights into the trading. They get insight into when certain stocks are going to rise and fall, and they can jump and change their stock options and all of that. And that's more into where William has great expertise in, and I know that to be true. I mean, look at Martha Stewart, and she's not even.
Yeah, she was main example. They made an example.
You
of
know,
her.
They made an example out of her.
Yes.
But I think that stuff goes on all the time, and William knows that kind of stuff better than I do. I mean, that's his expertise. William, am I on track with that? Or
you're definitely
off?
On track with that, and you know what's really, really amazing, folks? It is. Congress and the Senate, it's a club. And you have to, if you are lucky in some cases to be part of that club, you have and get and receive a lot of amenities that the general public does not get. I want to share something with you. If I were, if I did right now with my licenses, what they are doing in the Congress, do you know I can go to prison and pay up to $1 million? Because these characters, whew, Lord, thank you for helping me. I'm trying to stop cussing. These characters.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, boy. Are you exactly right, Dr. Dimmer? I know a lot about this. Because they get perks that we don't get. And they're traveling right now on a dangerous precedent right now, or they're trying to set a precedent to a dangerous, dangerous demise. And let me tell you what I'm saying about this. They want to cut your Social Security.
Yeah.
And you still vote for them. Are you, I don't care whether you Republican, Democrat, independent, green, purple, from Mars, I don't care how, and you gonna still, and you wanna still vote for these clowns, and they tell you in your face, yeah, we gonna cut your Social Security. They wanna cut your Medicare.
Yeah.
Now these things, you talking about highway robbery. When all of us worked, we paid into these programs. Okay? With the benefit and or the guarantee when you retire or ever, whatever it is, these programs are you, because guess what? It came out of your labor. It came out of your paycheck, didn't it? So what gives these clowns a right to steal your money? Are you serious right now? And on Dr. Dimmer's point, do you know Congress and the Senate, they can engage in insider trading. You mentioned Martha Stewart. Yes, she went to jail for that. But guess what? They can do it. How? Are you, man, look. Oh boy, I'm burning right now, because if you think about this, more than anybody, they get information that we are, as a general public, is not privy to. And the rules of the game is, you cannot trade on non-public information, meaning that everybody's supposed to have a chance, right? They say this is a nation of laws. You can miss me every day on this crap. A nation of laws? What laws are we following? Okay? I don't know what line I need to get in. Okay? It is absolutely abhorrent. There is a place. Now, I don't know. I don't know about this. I've never been there, but there's supposed to be a place in Washington, D.C., where your Congress and Senate, and it's an underground mall, so to speak, and it's just for them. They can go in there. They can get anything from clothing to a haircut.
Top of the line.
Okay. And it doesn't cost them a whole lot of money. It doesn't cost them a whole lot of money at all. Okay. And I'm not sure. I think I read something before that they don't even have pay taxes on that. Okay. Now, let's get back to where they're really making the money. You're exactly right, Dr. Demery. They get tips, stock tips, on where to trade. Because if you look back to COVID, guess what the Congress and Senate did? And I'm going to have to tell you, and I'm ashamed to say so. It happened on both sides. Republican and Democrat took advantage of this, and so did Nancy Pelosi.
Did they give themselves a raise during that time?
Well, not only a raise, they give themselves raises too. Okay, but this is what I'm talking about. There was a bill that was proposed on the floor that Congress and Senate could not trade stocks. They shouldn't be able to trade stocks and take advantage of what the public can't take care of. Guess what? It was voted down.
Wow.
It was voted down. Also, look at the lobbyists. The tobacco lobby. The oil lobby. Oh, you talk about the food lobbyists that go in there. The alcohol lobbyists. All of these loggers go in there, and this is where they make their big money, Dr. Dim. Oh, boy, the NRA. How in the world could I ever forget about that? Because, oh, my God, I'm thinking about Mitt Romney was one of the biggest corporates of that. He received about 13-point-something million dollars in it. Marco Rubio got money off of that. And these all happen to be Republicans. And there are a few more on that list. I'm just going from memory right now. And they are getting money from these lobbyists. $13 million from the gun lobby alone. Okay. And let's say I'm in Congress there, and I'm going to get in on some of this money here. Of the alcohol, the guns, the food, the everything. This is how they really pad their pockets, because you got these major corporations that are sending their lobbyists, or for a better term, or a representative from their companies to say, okay, if I can bribe this politician gets X numbers of dollars. That's how when they retire rich. Wow. Do you think that? Think about Manchin, for instance. Okay? This is right next door in West Virginia. Okay? This cat is cleaning up on the coal industry. Okay? That's why he vote every time you want to talk about pollution control or climate change or something like that, he votes against it. Because that's going against his best interests. Mitch McConnell is in Kentucky, one of the poorest states ever. In the union, right? They got bridges and roads falling apart and everything like that. Yeah. He's sitting up there filthy rich. Okay? His wife is from, I believe she's from China. And yeah. Because of her appointment in the U.S. Under Trump,